Thank you. This is Bill Crozier calling to order a meeting of the Pacifico National Board. It may end up being a working group meeting, depending on who's here. This is a special meeting held Sunday, June 26, 2016. It's 6:40 p.m. Central Time, 7:40 p.m. Eastern Time. This is a special meeting to discuss the Pacifica financial crisis. And we don't have our regular chair or secretary present, so I'll call the roll. Grace Aaron of KPFK.
Here.
Jonathan Alexander.
Here.
Wesley Bethune. Anterior Wesley. Jim Brown. Anterior Jim. Adriana Casanivi. Anterior Adriana. Bill Crozier, I'm here. Brian Edwards Tigert. Anterior Brian. Jose Luis Fuentes Roman. Anterior Jose Luis. Javon Gaman. Anterior Javon. Jan Goodman. Anterior Jan. Janet Coburn. Anterior Janet. Somebody
Jan
join us?
I just joined you.
Thank you, Jan. Okay, I'm calling roll. Tony Norman. Anterior Tony. Michael Novick. Anterior Michael. Afia Wangaza. Anterior Afia. Venetia Patel Adams. Anterior Venetia. Ron Pinchback. Anterior Ron. Nancy Sorden. Anterior Nancy. Margie Wilkinson. Anterior Margie. Frank Lefevre.
Presente.
Thank you. Sean Rhodes.
Presente.
Thank you. Alex Steinberg.
I'm here.
Thank you. And Bob Young. No Bob yet. Okay. I don't believe we have quorum, but I think this is the one part of this topic.
Jan Goodman is here.
Yeah, okay, Jan. Thank you. I got you. This is so important. I think it's important we stream and record this. So Sam Agarwal, our CFO, are you present also?
Yes, I can.
Thank you, Sam. This is so important. I think we do need to get this discussion public and discuss some possible what our financial situation is and some possible solutions. So since we don't have a regular chair, which, I guess nominations are open for a chair pro tem.
I nominate Bill Crozier.
Exactly.
Okay. Okay, thank you. Any other nominations? And I hear somebody talking to somebody else in the background. If you could mute, that would be helpful. And the regular muting codes don't work on this, but maybe your phone would do that. Do I hear a motion to close nominations? And I guess I'll let me back nomination.
So move.
Okay, are there any objections to me being chair pro tem for this meeting? Hearing none, then that's approved. Thank you. The nominations for a secretary pro tem for the meeting.
I nominate Grace Aaron.
Okay, Grace.
Okay.
Is that okay with you?
Yeah, I'll accept that. I'm taking.
Thank you. Any other nominations? Hearing none, do I hear a motion to close nominations and accept Grace Aaron as Secretary Pro Tem by acclamation?
So moved.
Okay. Any objections to that? Hearing none, then Grace is our Secretary Pro Tem. Thank you. I don't have an agenda. I guess the main topic is just, and maybe the only topic, is our Pacifica financial crisis. So anything that relates to that is fine with me. Does anybody else have anything else you want to save time for on the agenda?
Well, I think Lefevre and the SARC.
Yeah, go ahead, Frank.
Definitely, we want to hear from the CFO, and we want to hear it in detail. And since WBAI, I know he's going to say, is one of those closest to being on the chopping block, I have some things to say about the cash flow problems at BAI and how to solve them. I have some personal experience in a way to increase cash flow.
Okay. Well, I think starting with the CFO report would sound good in Q&A, and then that can lead to whatever discussion we want. If you want something more structured, we could have some more specifics for the agenda, but I think all that would come under what we already have. Is that okay?
Sounds good to me.
Anybody else have any specific things we should put on an agenda or just go with what we were just talking about? Okay, hearing none, then shall we go ahead and continue and let Sam Agrawal give us a CFO report? Okay, well, go ahead, Sam. We're all ears.
Okay. Thank you very much for being here, by the way. That's all right. So thank you very much for inviting me for this meeting. And yesterday morning, I had sent a CFO report. So let me highlight some of the issues that are kind of covered in that report itself. The main issues that we are facing is that we are not able, the National Office is not able to make payments for the outstanding audit fee. We know that the fiscal year 14 audit is almost complete, and the auditors are requesting a substantial payment on the outstanding amount, which would be around 30 to 40,000. I can approach them if I had that kind of money. So that will be preventing us from proceeding to fiscal year 15 audit. But the problem here is that the other things are held up at this time. We are not able to negotiate with the Empire State because they are also needing the audited statements. And the insurance renewal is also due. And they have asked us for the audited statements, say, a number of times. So those are some critical things that need attention right away. Moving to the cash flow concerns, I have provided the income statement for year-to-date, May 31, and some of the other highlights. And it is becoming very clear that a couple of stations, WPFW and WBAI, may not be able to make payroll for the coming month of July. Now, this is my best good faith estimate. If the stations have any information that they have not disclosed, then I cannot comment upon that. But based on the numbers that I've seen, the cash balance and the monthly budgets, it is very likely that the stations will not be able to make their payroll. Now, given this, I can say that with enough confidence, because if the stations are withholding payment of central services and they are making their own payroll, that is not a good practice, or that is not a good strategy. Because the truth is that, say, if they pay central services, they will not be able to make the payment of the payroll or the healthcare. And this is also a kind of an illusion, because that is postponing taking any hard decisions or taking any actions for those stations, because it feels like as if they are able to meet the critical payments. So I have been requesting the Pacifica National Board to address these issues, but it is kind of frustrating to see that they not enough time is given to take care of these issues, and the meetings kind of get postponed from one to another. And I don't know what the plan is or how we address these kind of issues, which are very critical and time sensitive. This has the result of weakening PRA operations and the National Office, because both are kind of dependent on central services. And we are not able to pay for the essential services, so that I have advised the Pacifica National Board that we will not be able to meet the election expenses. I fully understand the importance and the urgency of holding elections, but then I cannot also write a bad check. So that is the reason why I am trying to request everybody to kind of meet urgently and to come up with a suitable plan so that we can address these issues. So I think I have covered, and I will go into my recommendations part later on or answer any questions that you may have. But I think this is pretty much the summary of what I have to say for now.
Okay, do you want to summarize, again, this is for the web stream and the archive, too, for the public, tell people about the audit status and why that's on hold?
Yeah, so we have completed the fiscal year 14 audit almost. The auditors are going through the management letters and the deficiencies that they have seen during their audit. And then they will compile the final letter and they will discuss that with the management and with the audit committee. But as for the email that I had given to the Pacifica National Board, they have said that it's a practice with them not to issue the audited statements unless until they are paid at least a substantial amount on their outstanding fees. And by that, they mean at least about $40,000 to $50,000. So that is pretty much the status of the audit at this time.
Okay, thank you. Questions for Sam?
Hi, Alexander KPSK. I have a quick question. Again, thanks for coming to our meeting. Moving forward immediately, what do you see that we need to do?
I think we should, first of all, I don't know who is responsible to take any action. Because I am putting forward all the numbers and the information to the best extent possible, but nobody is questioning those numbers. So then why there is no action plan? I have not seen any action being taken. And like I said, that say if the station is kind of balancing its books or its budget on the back of the national office, then that is not a good practice. So we have to bring this to the attention of the Pacifica National Board that an action is needed very quickly to stop this practice because it threatens the viability of the whole network. Then the second thing I would suggest that say PRA definitely is under a lot of stress and it has gone through some pay reductions and some staffing changes, but still the operating model is broken because it is still dependent on the central services. And when the stations are not able to meet their bills or pay their bills, then how can they pay their central services? This I'm saying with the intent that there's definitely an opportunity to look for external sources where the PRA may not have to be so dependent on the central services and they can be self-sufficient. So that again, would be a lot less burden on the stations, and we can enhance some revenue. The third point I would say it will be a kind of an extended discussion, but we have to kind of change our focus from cost cuts to revenue growth to additional sources of revenue. Because what is happening is that say we are getting to the default option. When no action is taken, and when there's no action on the table, then what has happened? That say we are cornered into the option of cost cuts and staff cuts. That is hurting the stations very bad, especially in the case of WBI. We have seen that they are losing the productive capacity. And unfortunately, if that happens to WPFW, we will go the same road. So that is something that we have to be very mindful of. And that is the reason why I would request again that some proactive action plan should be put on the table, which should be implemented fairly quickly, and people should be assigned responsibility.
Thank you.
Thank you. Who's next? Questions?
Grace Receiver.
This is Grace.
Okay, Frank and then
okay.
Grace.
Grace, I just have a quick
okay.
question.
Okay, well, let's go. Okay, Frank first. Frank was first. Okay.
Well, I'll let Grace go, so I've already spoken, so I'll let her go first.
Okay, Grace.
Okay, I believe you said that we've completed the 2015 audit. You, Sam, you meant the 2014 audit, am I correct?
We have completed the 2014 audit. 2015 has not even started at this time.
All right. That's the only clarification I wanted. Do you have, but I have another question. Do you have any specific revenue improvement ideas for the various stations and the foundation?
Yeah, there could be some short-term strategies or some long-term. I had recommended to the National Finance Committee in its last meeting on June 21st that we should have a special session which should be devoted to finding additional sources of revenue. And we are meeting again on June 6th to discuss, July 6th to discuss some options. And some of the things that have come up, because we have to pay for the audit fee, so some of the things that have come up are like crowdsource funding. We can establish an account that we can generate some additional revenue fairly quickly. The second thing would be mail-in drive, because we have not collected much revenue or much cash through the mail-in drive through the major donor source. So that could be another avenue that we can tap into. Right now, I would not get into any controversial issues because then we get stuck and we don't go anywhere. Underwriting is definitely a very a quick option, but because there are passionate views on both the sides of this, so I'm not exploring that option.
Okay, thank you. Frank?
Yes. On one of the Yahoo group listservs, some question was raised as to what bills to pay, since you can't pay them all. And it was pointed out that you can't judge it just in terms of internally perceived importance. For example, it's important to have the elections, but if we can't pay them, what's the penalty? If you, it's important to have the audit results, but if you don't get the audit results, what's the penalty? Well, in the case of the audit results, we're not going to get the CPB money anyway. In case of the election, if that were to be canceled, well, there would be some internal problems. But what R. Paul Martin pointed out in this exchange was that if the bill that is owed monthly to the staff at WBAI is not paid, then you're getting real problems from the federal government. Do you have a comment on that in terms of what we should pay with our limited resources?
Yes, so you're right. That's that there are legal
ramifications. This is Alex. Could you put me on the stack?
Okay, thanks, Alex. Yeah, go ahead, Sam.
Yeah, so there are legal ramifications, because if we are under obligation to pay for the salary, for the payroll, and for the healthcare benefits, then we have to make those payments. But we are also under obligations for other services and for other legal obligations that we have incurred in the past. The other situation that I'm looking at is because all the stations are hurting and none of the stations are having any surplus cash, so where should we take the money and how to pay the bills of the other station, and particularly when the station is not in a position to pay back that amount? The repayment capacity is not there. So that throws in a very very difficult and very challenging kind of a situation. And that is the reason why I'm insisting with the board that a comprehensive plan has to be put on the table. It cannot be piecemeal. It has to be network-wide, covering all stations, because all the stations are hurting. And we have to discuss this, and we have to decide what may be the best option.
Thank you. Did you say something about a meeting that had already been scheduled? I assume you're talking about not the PNB. Is that just the management and GMs or?
No, I am not aware of any meeting at this time.
Oh, okay. Okay. You're talking about the need for a meeting. I thought you said earlier something
need,
about
need
a meeting.
For a meeting.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. Other questions for Sam?
Yeah, one quick one. Thank you. In past meetings, you spoke about the necessity for, you know, some sort of a turnaround plan from general managers. Have any of the general managers of these stations in the past, 30 or 60 days, submitted any type of a plan to improve their cash flow? I mean, something realistic. Anything?
No, I've not seen anything.
Thank you.
I guess if somebody else right now, I'm going to ask a follow-up question, something I was going to ask anyway. I know that you had sent us Sam some...
This is Alex.
Oh, okay. Well, go ahead, Alex. I'll hold myself.
Yeah. Sam, I don't see it happening given the dysfunctional nature of the Pacifica National Board, but if there was any kind of consensus or resolve to deal with the financial crisis... do you think that getting together some kind of promotion might be an issue? Underwriting. I know we've explored underwriting in the past. If that were to come on the table, how quickly do you think that could be implemented? And I know when we've discussed it in the past, from the ideological issues around underwriting, there's also the practical question of whether we could actually raise any significant money using underwriting. It's not clear that really could bring us some significant cash. The other thing is, since we do have right now what seems to be a very dire cash flow crisis, what would be your response to a proposal to sell some of our property in order to get some cash? I'm not talking about the licenses. I'm talking about some of our real estate, which we do own some real estate that could bring in a lot of cash, and the stations that are presently populating those offices could simply rent instead. And it's not at all required for us to own this real estate in some very lucrative real estate markets. Do you think that could be as a short-term effort in order to deal with our financial crisis?
So let me respond. You have very good points. First, with respect to the underwriting, definitely, it's an open question how much we can
bury them. Will they grow? No, you have to have
if you're not here right now, could you please mute?
They come from bulbs.
Mute your phone.
Sorry. I'm sorry.
Yeah, it's an open question how much we can generate revenue from the underwriting, but. Still, I think it's a possibility. We can generate some good amount of additional cash, even if it may be $10,000 or $20,000 in a month. I think it can pay some bills. And if we can implement a basic model with an underwriting agreement, probably that may be a step in the right direction. So I would not overrule that possibility. But again, because it gets stuck under those ideological constraints, so it is not going anywhere. The second option that you have raised is about the selling of the real estate. I will not be too much in favor of that because the problem is that, say, once we sell the real estate, there are other claimants on the cash that we receive. We owe some bills, some big amounts to Empire State and other vendors, and they may have a right to claim. But that does not, the reason why I'm very reluctant or kind of not in favor of this option is because that may be a one-time gain, but that does not solve the basic problem. The basic problem is the shortfall in the income and the reduction in the listener support revenue. So that will not be solved. Again, I'm very reluctant in kind of putting band-aids because that is what has been happening for so many years. And somehow we have to get away and we have to look into the real possible solutions, how to grow this business, first how to sustain the operations and then how to grow the business. So that is the reason why I'm not so much in favor. The other thing is that say the properties that say that could be sold, they are not in such a condition that they can fetch very good prices. So we may have to end up selling in at throwaway prices, which again would not be very lucrative. So I'm not so much in favor of that option.
Fanti, are there other questions?
I have one, Alexander, KPFK.
Okay, Jonathan.
Sam, I mean, I'm sorry, I just don't have very much confidence in governance coming up with a solution. So hopefully we have a plan B in case the PNB does nothing of any use, because this has been my experience in the last 18 years. Crowdsourcing has a good possibility because I've seen it work, but crowdsourcing requires a good narrative, a story that you can tell the donors. And right now, our story is pretty bad, and there's a lot of stuff in the web that makes us look bad. However, do you think there's any possibility in raising the amount of money that we receive from Radio Korea on KPFK's subcarrier? I think it's been at $10,000 a month for quite some time. Is there any, and they make a lot of money off of that. I mean, if the deal works out better for them than our own signal works out for us. Is it possible that we can hike up to Radio Korea and that would be a monthly income that maybe our creditors wouldn't know about?
Yeah, that could be a possibility. I don't know all the technical details, but I think you and John L. Miller can combine together and can explore this possibility. I definitely would lend my experience or my expertise if it comes to an agreement stage. And then we can look into the terms and conditions if those are favorable. And then I think we can establish some revenue, some recurring revenue base. And again, you have raised an important point about the corporate governance and those issues. And for right now, I'm staying away in making any comments because I want to be very focused and very objective. I have enough strength in my numbers and in my objectivity and on the fact base. And that should be the driving force.
Thank you. I'll talk to John O'Miller about this first thing in the morning. And I mean, even if it's only just, I don't know, a couple of $1,000 a month, it would be better than nothing. It would be a start.
That's very right.
Well, thank you. Let me ask something too, because I know you agree with you. I agree with you, Sam. You were talking about earlier the big problem is the drop in listener support. And you know, like I've mentioned before, our mission doesn't mean anything if we don't have listeners. And so not only are we don't have as much revenue, many donations from listeners, we don't have as many listeners. So I'm looking for everyone to help us come up with some solutions to that. And we've had some really big drop in listener support from WBI and WPFW in the last 2 years, for example. And KPFK may be the next biggest drop, I believe. I'm not sure. And I realize public radio stations all over the country are losing listeners, but we seem to be losing listeners, and listeners are more a lot faster than the average. So it seems like we should be trying to undo or reverse some of the changes, whatever they were, that have been made in the last couple of years that have resulted in decreased listener support.
Thank the fever, Kasek. If there is,
okay. Let me let Sam respond, and then I'll get you, Frank. Thanks.
Yes, those are very good observations, and there's no doubt, and that is borne out by the numbers that say the listener support is declining over the several years. And there could be many reasons because probably we are not, doing the programming that may be attractive. And then the landscape may be changing because there are so many options. The radio business is not on the growth trend in any case. But having said that, there could be special niche, and there could be some areas where we can excel and where we can definitely produce something that could be attractive to the listeners. At this time, this whole area needs a very thorough review and very critical analysis. Unfortunately, I don't know who is doing this and whether this is happening at the network wide, because probably this cannot happen at the station alone. They need those resources, but even if it is done at the station, I think the efforts are not being done in the right manner that can make an important dent. It is very clear that we're looking at the some of the East Coast stations that something has to be done radically different. I mean, otherwise, probably they may not be able to sustain the operations. So it requires a very critical review.
Thank you. Who's next?
This is Grace. I'd like to make
a comment. Let me see first if anybody hasn't spoken yet and wants to say anything right now. Anybody have a question or comment? Okay, well, we'll get back to you. Go ahead, Grace.
Okay, it's not true that the radio business is on a decline. I know that you didn't say that, Sam, that it's not on a growth trend. After TV, radio actually has the highest penetration of any media in the U.S. And in fact, some of our signal areas have had increased radio listenership. L.A., for instance, because our traffic gridlock is worse, and over 50% of potential listeners in the Los Angeles metropolitan area listen to radio when they're not at home. Often that means when they're in their cars. So there has actually been an increase in potential listenership in Los Angeles, and that's probably true at some of our other signal areas. Listenership is not migrating significantly to other platforms. I believe that, some of the statistics I looked at showed that radio has a 91% penetration across all significant demographics, age demographics, and population demographics, whereas internet computer penetration is about 30%. So radio is very strong, still strong, and we also have such tiny market shares in our signal areas that we could significantly increase. It's very hard to go from 1 million listeners to 2 million, but to go from 100 listeners to 200 is not a hard task. To go from 100 listeners to 1,000 or 10,000 is also not hard in signal areas where the population is over 20 million, 15 or 20 million people. In our signal area in Southern California, there are 18 million people, and our listenership is close to zero here. So there is a huge amount of upside when it comes to listeners, and if we improve our listenership, that means when we do pitch in a fund drive, we'll be pitching to many, many more people. And what it takes to do that is to significantly improve our programming. And that's done by doing market research to find out what the general public wants to hear that is in conformity with the Pacifica mission, and then providing them with programming that supplies those needs. It's as simple as that. I think that that's our number one best, but I'd like to say that the research does not show that radio listenership is declining, especially not in our signal areas.
So these are all very good comments, and I agree with them. My expertise is not in that area, so I would welcome an opportunity to partner with or to kind of work with a person who is technologically more inclined and more tuned in this particular area. What I have suggested, and that in private conversations, that if a station is not able to keep up with its programming at the highest possible level, then it can ask for or it can request some shared resources. And from stations which are doing reasonably well, they can lend the resources and they can critically examine the other station's programming aspects. So this is something that is doable and that can be at a very low cost. But again, the issue is that, say, who should be guiding this and who should be kind of taking the lead in all these kind of issues? That's a central question.
Go ahead.
Okay. Was that Frank?
Yeah, I'd like to lay out my cash flow plan while Sam's on the line so he could comment on the feasibility and quantitative aspects.
Okay, anything that sounds like a plan sounds good to me, so please proceed.
Oh, am I on? Okay. We talked about listener support. I'd like to talk instead about customer support in the sense of customer service. Manufacturers that are dependent upon sales to the public have devoted a certain amount of their budgets towards trying to keep the customers happy, to deal with problems that they have. Now, let me give you a very concrete example of how I contributed to a small but I think significant increase in cash flow. This spring, as I have for every year for the past 3 or 4 or 5 years, I paid for and managed an exhibit table at Left Forum. This is a big annual meeting which brings in lefties from all over the country, 4,000 or 5,000 people attending and so on and so forth. Now, I also put an ad in the program. The idea was to let people know that BAI existed. Unfortunately, a lot of people do not know that it exists. Now, the revenues that we got from the table were small. I got about 4 new memberships and so on. But here's the most telling one. The most common question we got from people who knew about BAI was, where's my premium? I donated such and such, you know, 1 year ago, 2 years ago, 3 years ago. I still haven't gotten my premium. One woman who showed up had an invoice in her hand from WBAI asking her to send a check to make good on her pledge of $78, $79, $80, something like that. On the mere promise that I and another volunteer at the table would look into her problem and find out where her premium was and try to get to her, on that promise, she immediately wrote us a check for that amount. Now, this cash flow plan has been suggested to management for years. Steve Brown has mentioned it and others. You invest in premiums ahead of time. You don't wait to see how many are asked for before you get them. You make sure you have them on hand, and you do not wait until you get the donation. You send out that premium immediately to the customer, and then you follow that up. If they don't send you the donation right away, you follow up then with a request. And I guarantee you, if we did that on a systematic basis, we would get a cash flow increase immediately through our listener support. Now, there's another dimension to this. From time to time, the suggestion has been made, maybe we could do a mailing. If we played our cards right and teamed up with Left Forum in an effective way, and yes, I've discussed this with the Left Forum people, so we had access to their mailing list and so on and so forth. We do not need to send out a huge, you know, umpty thousand mailings. All we have to do is send out maybe 100 letters, and whatever returns we get on that will pay for the postage for another 100 or 1,000 and so on. In other words, it pays for itself if you start investing in this mailing that's reaching out. Now, I have to say something speculative about why this view of customer service and customer support is not so obvious to management. Our management's experience, as I understand it, is with the private health insurance company. And there, the strategic profit-making plan is to discourage claims, so that if anybody calls in to complain, to make a claim for payment for services, if you can lose them, if you can put them on hold long enough and so on and so forth, everyone that drops out and gives up pushing their claim, there's money saved for the insurance company. But that's completely backward from the way that a station like WBAI has to offer. Every claim that we can honor will increase our income. And there's more besides, but that gives you the basic idea. Now, in quantitative terms, Sam, do you have any idea about how much we, in terms of real dollars, that might eventually result in?
So if I understand your question right, are you talking about the premiums that we have not been able to provide, and that's the reason why there's a decline in the revenue? Is that the question that you're asking?
Yes, it's bad enough, see, that we have to depend upon impulse buying of donations if we don't even fulfill the promise to send somebody a premium after they've pledged a donation. There's no motivation for that person to fulfill their promise to donate. Indeed, they may even lose interest in listening to the station at all anymore.
So that's a very valid point, and that could be one of the reasons why we are having a declining revenue. And I have heard complaints about that. I think the internet is all the email traffic that includes many observations of that kind. So there cannot be any denial of the fact that the station has not been able to fulfill the premiums for the right amount or for the right kind. But having said that, again, the broader issue is that somebody has to be responsible and somebody has to take initiative and make sure that all these practices are put in place. The current system is not working or it's broken, and that needs to be fixed. And let me make a very quick comment here and clarification, because I don't know what the legal obligations are, how the meetings are streamed, and under what conditions. So I want to make it very clear that I am not trying to make any disparaging remarks against any station, any individual. These are very objective assessments and very valid questions and issues that are on the table, and they need answers. So that is my only objective with the working group, to thrash out, to put on the table, and to figure out what the solution should be.
One problem right now, of course, is that we don't have any telephones at BAI.
Yeah,
that's a non-payment.
I'm not sure there's a reason, but there's Skype backup, which can be used in a very selective one person at a time basis.
I'm sorry, I was really trying to verify this is like a payment problem and not a technical problem, right?
It could be both.
Do you know, Sam, what the status is of that, or why the WBA fines aren't working?
Only the last couple of days I've heard about this. I have not been able to verify if that is correct. Generally, because we talk on the cell phone, so I did not have the occasion to call the number.
Okay. Well, I know that the last 2 or 3 years they've been talking about a new phone system or systems at WBAI, and they spent quite a bit of money. I don't know. I still don't know what the problems are. Can I ask you just to follow up, though, on something else we were just talking about, too, on –
Sure.
You know, you're talking about your expertise is not, you know, in radio, and we understand that. But, you know, looking at the numbers, I know KPFT keeps detailed statistics of every pledge, all the pledges for every show and every fund drive. I'm not, and I think KPFK does that also. KPFT's is public, although you have to kind of know where to look. I don't know if you're getting that, Sam, from the other stations, but it seems like that might be a good thing to do, is look at, see if for stations like WBAI or WPFW that have had big drops, and KPFK, big drops in listener support, is see if certain shows, if it was mostly in certain shows, or if changes to the program schedule resulted in big drops. I think they probably did. I know there were a lot of changes at WBAI. Was it the year before last, I believe? Maybe some of the WBAI people can correct that. And KPFK had some changes last year.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Even recently, I understand Gary Null has been kind of restricted in his pitching hours during the current fund drive.
Okay, well, so I guess my question to Sam is, would it help if we could compile some specifics that, you know, hey, maybe this is something you should look at, or it appears that, or this is information we need, or here's information we have that, you know, would point towards, here's something you could ask management about at specific stations, about specific shows, or about specific ways of pitching. Would that be helpful if we compiled something like that for you?
Oh, definitely. I will appreciate that very much, because I'm looking for partners. It is just impossible for me to devote that much time into such analysis, because right now we don't have information management. And because the information is so scattered and it has not been compiled, so any time that I try to dig into the data, that is not credible. And the other thing is that's because it's not my priority. So again, it kind of loses attention. I have within the closed circle, I have exposed to a few people if they can take the lead, but so far nobody has come forward. So I would very much welcome this opportunity if a few people can join together and help me in putting together some kind of information structure so that we can use this data in a credible manner.
Okay. Well, let me ask who on this call might be willing to help compile this or collect it, and we can ask for anybody listening on the web stream or the, you know, on the archives to similarly help send in suggestions or information. Would somebody be willing to help compile this?
This is Grace.
Yeah, Grace. Okay.
We've already compiled some of that information for KPFK. We do have some difficulty, though, in getting the raw data from the manager. But we've been doing a fairly good job of putting it together. We have charts of programmers have generated the most fund drive income, for instance, for several drives.
And web income at there, didn't it drop dramatically in the last year?
The web income, yes. The webmaster was fired, and after that, the web income plummeted. It's still very much smaller than it used to be because the website is very dysfunctional now.
Well, actually, about four of our revenue streams at KPFK were hit and severely limited in the last year. I don't know what we can do about it other than other things. Our website, many of our shows that have the higher listenership, the higher donations, the higher web metrics were hit last year. I would be wondering if there's any data out there, perhaps from Sam or Grace, in regards to how austerity measures affect the stations. I know it's had a really rough effect on WBAI, and it's had a pretty rough effect on KPFK in the last year. In the one or two fund drives following the austerity measures, it seemed that our numbers dropped almost at a comparable rate. I wonder if maybe Grace had some figures on that.
Well, I just sent some charts, an analysis and some chart about the income and expenses, and the income has on down when the expenses have, in other words, when after austerity measures were taken, it may have meant a greater income to expense ratio for a short time, but in the long term, it created an erosion of income. So I believe I sent that to you, Sam, earlier today about 3 o'clock, and to the rest of the PNB. And the chart makes it very clear that over a number of years, 5 or 6 years, austerity measures have not resulted in improved income. And in fact, it's really, we've basically gone through our reserves during that time, so it's had a more of a negative than a positive effect.
Yeah, thank you. And to get back to more specifically what I was talking about, you're right, that's helpful. I think we do need to look at specific things, too. Your chart showed that all the stations have been having trouble with losses and drops in income, net income, but the listener support in particular, we kind of need to zero in, I think, on the specifics of, like, which shows, which programming changes resulted in drops in income, what, you know, if web income dropped, the specific sources of income, which ones dropped. Now, a lot of that is in the income statements, like the web income, you can tell that from the income statements, but not specific programs. And since most listener support is dependent on specific programs, I think that's really important that we look at that. So I guess what I was just suggesting, if, you know, I'll help collect, I'm going to need some help from people, though. If, you know, anybody wants to email me specifics about, for any station, like, here's, we need to look at this program that is, it was canceled or cut or expanded, you know, anything that made increased income would be really nice to know about. Maybe we need to do more of that. Anything that was cut, any changes in how fund drives were done in the last couple of years, anything involving the websites, because those are the kind of things that could probably be reversed potentially rather quickly if we just decided to do it. Would that be helpful then, Sam, if we could compile that for you to share with the GMs?
Oh, definitely. Any good information system will be very helpful, because then we are basing our decisions on some hard data instead of kind of guessing and just speculating without any basis.
Okay, thank you. Well, I'll just, you know, anybody wants to send me information, you can email it to me. And if you're listening in the web stream, and or if you don't know my email address, you can send it to the PNB address, pnb@pacifica.org. But if you send it to specifically me, I will collect it. Be sure to put something in the subject line about that's indicative of what it is so I can find it, because I get huge amounts of email. So put something about, let me put some tag in the subject line, like financial crisis. And then I can set up a filter to put all those in a folder so I can find them. And I'll ask from some of the rest of you for help with this also. Okay, back to other questions for Sam, or comments or suggestions. Suggestions would be really nice to have.
I mean, as a board, even if, you know, the PNB came up with some great idea about programming, which would be a first and welcomed, we only have so much authority when it comes to programming. I mean, sometimes, and I'm not really sure how much authority there is, because sometimes we have the authority to, you know, force a block of programming that's not popular, while we don't have the authority to reinstate programming that is popular. But one obvious example is on the Berkeley radio station, we have a show that's being broadcast from Los Angeles. But she's been cut and pushed out of the office so much that now she broadcasts from home. However, her show is so popular that it broadcasts on television once a week, and it makes a lot of money in Berkeley. But, I mean, they're just I don't know if there's if the programming committee itself or the PNB has authority to do these things. We never have, and, I mean, obviously the way the situation... Obviously, the people on this phone call are in the majority in our opinions anyway, and I don't know what the heck we could actually do. I've been here 13 years, and I'm getting a little frustrated. This is my last year at Pacifica if things don't change. Because, I mean, imagine yourself, if you were an employee of an organization that refuses to have things like human resources. And, I mean, it's not an accident we don't have HR. It was a decision by the Pacifica National Board. And what we need is a plan in case the board comes up with nothing. You know, I mean, the crowdsource funding works, but again, you need a narrative, a story, something that can tell to our listeners, hey, we're not as stupid as we seem on the internet. We're turning ourselves around, and this is why you should donate money to us. And of course, if we had that idea, then it would probably equal better programming from jump. I guess I'm talking in circles. I'm sorry.
Jan Goodman, could you put me on a stack?
Yeah, okay. Or Sam, did you want to respond to that first?
Well, I would like to just make a kind of a general comment that I'm hearing all very good suggestions and recommendations and viewpoints. My take on this whole thing is that this is not kind of translating into some kind of an action plan. What is the bottleneck? Who is responsible for execution, if there is somebody? And what is the role of PNB in this whole process? And how do we make sure that the PNB understands its responsibility? And I'm not trying to beat up on any particular body or anybody in particular, but these are the kind of open questions, because all this all the suggestions can be wrapped up in an action plan with some clear accountability, with some responsibility, and with some clear deadline. And that is what I'm looking for, because no matter how good the suggestion is or how many suggestions are there on the table, unless until there is an execution plan and there is a responsibility, we don't go anywhere. So that's my take, my observation.
Thank you. Very good points. Okay, Jan?
Jan. Okay, first I'll address, Sam, your question. I think one of the reasons that the PNB is not doing anything is just it's at this point kind of systemic that they're not doing anything, and they don't seem to be able to do very much, and that is one of the reasons I think that at least I, and I think others, are seeking your assistance to implement as many things as you can reasonably under your offices as the CFO, because you don't have to get 12 people, 13 people to agree on any particular plan, if it's something that you can implement as a CFO. And since there seems to be kind of a paralysis, you know, I mean, that's just an objective analysis, that there doesn't seem to be able to be anything coming as a result of the PNB for whatever reason. I mean, that's a whole, you could have a whole dissertation on why, but that's just a reality. So that's why at least I, and I think others, are hoping that to the extent that you can, as CFO, implement certain things, at least there can be some movement forward. And so I'm presenting another idea that it's not rocket science, but it could bring in money kind of rapidly, I think. And that is, if we implemented a system that people could donate from their cell phones. They just enter a number. Then we have, you know, like our local PBS station, you know, if you want to make a donation, you could just enter a number and bang, you've made the donation, so that it can be very impulse driven. You don't have to have somebody at a particular, you know, at a phone collecting information. You just, you know, send in your cell phone, donate some money, and bang, you've made your donation. And I'm wondering, and perhaps Jonathan Alexander may know something about this. I think we probably would have to have a different number for each station so people would know what station, what number they're, you know, what station is connected to what donation. But I think that if we, you know, implemented a program like that and we said, if you like this program and you want to see it continue, donate $25 or donate $2. You know, if we have enough people in a $2 donation or a $28 donation, we could be collecting money and not have to wait for fund drives. One of the problems with, you know, having fund drives and having a one-day fund drive is that, you know, you have to gather up the volunteers and, you know, set it all up, whereas if we just could donate by calling a number, we could have a much faster turnaround, and we could do it like a special day to get the audit done so that we could get our CPB funding, and another special day maybe for the archives. Anyway, I'm just putting those out there, and I know you are not the fundraising manager at all, and I wouldn't do this if we didn't have our urgent situation.
Just briefly, we did have a number set up like that at KPFK that we were utilizing. Just, you know, text to this number, and it would, when we had the Temple of Hip Hop on, they would use it during that show and other shows, but it's just one of those things that disappeared last June. Many revenue streams disappeared last June.
So could it be, I mean, is there a way that the CFO could say, you know, you know, like, we need to implement these at all the stations because this will bring in, you know, immediate cash revenue.
Well, with, like,
and maybe,
said,
maybe for
a
instance,
deadline
audit,
saying, hey, you have 30 days to get this set up, yeah, for the auditor for whatever reason. It's just, I mean, we had it going, and then the guy who was managing it, you know, was left, and nobody picked it back up. I guess right now it would be our general manager's job to get it done. But, you know, I don't know who has the authority to tell her to do anything. Cause if I did, I would.
Right.
Well, this is Bill. This is the kind of thing, why don't you, if you don't mind, email, you know, just a summary of those kind of things to me. I'll like them. Same kind of thing Alex was talking about, you know, about contacting people who didn't get their thank you gifts, and any other ideas for increasing revenue or increasing members, getting new members, old members back, or getting new members, and promotion so we can get more new listeners too. Okay, other comments or suggestions? Suggestions would be great.
If I can quickly comment on Jan's suggestions.
Yeah, sure, go ahead.
Yeah. So those are very good points, and I would welcome Jan's participation in the July 6th Finance Committee meeting. She is already a member, and those suggestions will carry a lot of weight. And what I'm trying to do is to work with Finance Committee where it may be a little bit more easier to get through some resolutions passed. It may not have a binding effect on the stations, but at least if we can get a kind of a consensus built around certain ideas, it becomes a little bit easier to implement, or at least to form an opinion that this is a good idea. Again, I don't know whether the execution will happen or we will see any results, but that's a good start. Some things are probably like a crowdsource funding. I would recommend the Finance Committee members to take the lead, because I think that's well within their authority. So to answer the second point, or the first point with Jan raised, that say in my capacity as CFO, what I can do. And if you have been watching me, like say for the past 5 or 6 months that I've been here, I have been very active in raising the voice, in raising the concern, in bringing lots of ideas and lots of issues on the table. And that is, I think that is my biggest contribution in raising that awareness and asking for an action plan. Keeping within my authority, because I have a limited authority, I don't have the execution authority. But I think I have made enough dent and enough people are listening and enough people are now concerned about it that some action would happen. So I'm very hopeful that we are reaching that kind of a critical mass where people would be interested in kind of finding a solution instead of kind of just sitting back and almost kind of resigned that nothing is going to happen. I'm hopeful. And with your support, definitely something will happen.
Could I ask a follow-up question, too? You talk about plans. You're right. We do need action plans. And I remember, you know, you sent us to the PNB, I believe, in in May and then again in June. There weren't really plans. There were some spreadsheets, one for WBI, one for WPFW, with some major initiatives that might help increase revenue. They weren't related directly to getting members, but getting other revenue. And it looked like collectively, even if they were all 100% successful, they wouldn't make up for all the drop in listener support, but they would help. But some of them had schedules that they would have already happened by now. And I wonder if you could give us updates, or have you received updates from the stations about how those are doing? Have they been bringing in the amount of money they were projecting, for example?
Yeah, those were more so geared to find a kind of a common platform for the stations to rally around certain ideas, because otherwise they did not have a good roadmap, a good plan where to go to, and it was very important for them to look at those sources to see if they can still meet the budget shortfall. So right now, I have not seen any kind of major accomplishment on those major initiatives that I had listed out in those spreadsheets. The other reason why I had to put together the cash flow was to satisfy the going concern for the auditors, because they were asking for a cash flow plan that we can meet our cash requirements for the next 12 months. So that was another driving factor behind it. But unfortunately, I have not seen much progress. I don't know whether an active effort is being done or those are under consideration or they have hit the roadblock. But I think I'm reaching that point where the station management probably has to step up and kind of take the lead in letting us know where they are and what they plan to do.
Okay, well, just a suggestion, your next weekly management call, you might ask the GMs or before then ask them for updates on those things. Maybe they have had some success that we just don't know about, but I would think if they were having successes, they'd be bragging about them. So it's a little scary that we're not hearing anything.
Okay.
Okay, other comments, questions, suggestions?
This is Grace. Can I say something?
Okay, Grace.
Okay, one person hasn't spoken at all on this call, and that's Sean. I was wondering, Sean, if you're still on the call, if you have any ideas that you could forward.
I'm still on the call. I don't have any ideas to put forward. I've just been taking in the information and acknowledging to myself, oh, yeah, good idea, good point, yeah. But I don't have anything to, unique to offer from my own perspective, no. But thank you for the offer.
Okay. Thank you, Sean.
Okay.
Bill, this is Grace. Can I make a few other suggestions?
Yeah, okay. Go ahead.
Okay. First of all, I think that the definitely, we've discussed this, but the negative influences that have degenerated our listener support should be reversed, should be figured out and reversed, especially if they've been precipitous. In other words, if a few shows were taken off the air and at that certain point in time there was an immediate and sustained drop in listener support, those decisions should be reversed, in my opinion. And the other thing would be, I think that some of the solutions that have been put forward in the last few years have been peripheral to our basic business, if you want to call it that. And that is, our business is the listeners, our supporters, listen to us on the radio. That is what we're offering them, content that they enjoy or that they feel is educational, that's of value to them. All the other side things are not really anything that's directly our business model. So the most important thing is to improve what we're broadcasting, and that can be done pretty easily right off the bat, and that is to take, because radio programs do not have the same popularity. So, and the difference in popularity can be very extreme. One show in 1 hour can have a listenership of 20,000, and the next hour can have a listenership of 50. So the differences in popularity of shows is very stark. It's not a slight difference. It can be an extremely dramatic difference. You see that all over the media with TV and other things where some shows have a tremendous popularity, or you see it on the Internet with certain things going viral and most things not. So we can easily isolate our most popular shows and simply repeat them. That will cost nothing except headaches, because the people who are removed or whose hours are lessened on the grid will complain. But it will immediately boost our listenership, or pretty much immediately, and we will get a consequent improvement in listener support. And then we simply have to figure out what content we already have in Pacifica that is more popular and will draw in more listenership, and concentrate on doing that, because General Motors found, they tried all kinds of peripheral ways to get themselves out of bankruptcy. They tried having a loan company. They tried doing this, doing that, all different kinds of ancillary ways of generating income. And they were still losing market share to Toyota. And finally, in a bankruptcy, they realized, oh, duh, we need to improve our cars. And it's the same thing with Pacifica. We need to improve our programming. All the other things are nice, and they may improve things somewhat, but basically we are creating something of value to people, and they're rewarding us with financial support. If what we're broadcasting is of more value, we'll have more support. It's as simple as that. But that has not been done, as far as I can tell.
Yeah, Frank, go ahead.
Yeah, if I could add something. Here's a theme that I have been pushing really since the very first LSB meeting, which was, what, about 2003 or 2002, something like that. And that is, nobody at BAI has as a part of their job description the task of making BAI known to the general public. The absurdity of expecting people simply to find us on the dial because we're in the middle of the dial, and at any given moment hearing something so wonderful they decide to continue listening is absurd. if we have a really high quality program, it's not going to do anything if nobody's listening to it, and nobody will listen to it if they don't know that it exists, if they don't know that VI exists. I have made my own flyers and distributed them at meetings and marches and so on, you know, for years. And at the very first BAI LSB meeting, I made a suggestion, which every manager subsequently said is a good idea, but not one of which was ever implemented. And that's very simple. You have a page on your website from which listeners can download some plain black and white flyers to advertise the station, download them so they can print them and make 100 Xerox copies at home. They don't have to travel all the way out to Brooklyn to pick them up at the station and so on. And that's one way of getting it out. The other way, of course, is to have a somebody whose task is specifically to do that. Now, some might say that the development director should use online social media resources to do that. The unfortunate thing is, I personally don't think she's quite attuned to that, but more importantly, because of short staffing, she is acting essentially as an executive secretary to really deal with a lot of very mundane tasks, because the manager has not taken my suggestion to get a volunteer to do that from a volunteer agency. But we really have to press the advertising through all the channels, through word of mouth and social media, and through a simple thing like that. Can you imagine if people would download 100 or one flyer and make 100 copies and distribute it? It costs us nothing. It costs BAI nothing. And if we get two or three listeners out of that, that's two or three we wouldn't have had before.
Okay, thanks. And just to let you know, KPFT has had program guides for a number of years. And this last year, one of the committees put together a sort of a limited program guide that would fit on a single sheet of paper, you know, printer paper, that I don't know if they ever put that on the website where you could download it, but they get some printed. But just to give people ideas, and I like Frank's idea, let the listeners, you know, download and print their own, even if it's partial guides that might just reflect.
The problem with the BAI is the program guide is not downloadably friendly or printer friendly. It's multicolored and too long to copy and print in an 8.5 by 11 piece of paper, or even 12 by 14.
Yeah. Okay. Good idea. Okay, but yeah, I think a short one like that to fit on one sheet, maybe front and back, would be good, and print in black and white. We've also, KPFT has had a few versions that we printed on newsprint on a single newspaper size sheet. So you fold it, it's four pages, printed front and back, and we have a printer that can print like 10,000 of them for less than $1,000 in four color, or maybe half that price in black and white. So that's still some money, but it's lots less expensive than photocopying or whatever. But if people could print their own, that's really good. Yeah, now I forget who else wanted to speak.
Alex, I wanted to say something.
Oh, yeah. Go ahead, Alex.
I think maybe there's some good suggestions that have come out of this, but I think it's becoming a little unfocused the way I view it from what Sam has been saying. It seems like there's an immediate short-term cash flow situation that has to be addressed. I believe if we don't get the audit completed very soon, we are once again going to lose $1 million or so in CPB funding, which would be a real disaster at this point. So do we have some plans for raising a significant amount of money quickly to at least pay for the audit?
Uh,
Yeah, so if I can make a quick comment there, that is the reason why I have requested the Finance Committee to devote a special session, and we will be meeting on July 6th on this issue. And hopefully, if some suggestions come forward and we can act on those, then possibly we can raise some money. Again, it may not be very quick. I think it may take at least 3 to 4 weeks before we can start seeing some money. Because if we have the maiden drive, definitely it's going to take that much time. So that is the only hope I can see that we can pay down some of the audit fee outstanding. I don't know how we can get the money for the election expenses. That will be another critical area. And like I said, that again, we are entering into a rough patch because if the stations are not able to meet the payroll, then we are kind of turning backwards. And I don't know what the plan is and whether any fund drives are in the works for July or August, because that would be a great setback. So we have to kind of look into all these kind of things collectively.
What do we do if there's not money to print and mail the candidate information and ballots for the elections? Because that's going to be needed in a little over a month.
Yeah, I'm not sure, because right now I'm concerned about how do we make the payment for the critical services. And that is the reason why I'm asking urgent attention. The cash flow information that I'm looking at does not paint a very good picture towards the late July. Now, if things change, then definitely I'll take my words back. But given the experience that I've been having for the last 3 or 4 months, that would be my firm belief at this time. So I really don't have any answer for how the other things can be done.
This is Sean in New York.
Yeah, Sean, go ahead.
I'd like to address something Sam just said there in terms of he wasn't aware of any fund drives happening between now and late July. Our general manager, Bertel Reimers, has already issued a notice to the staff as of June 8th that we will be having a summerthon July 18th to August 7th. So there will be an influx of funds from BAI, at least for that period. So you can factor that into your considerations.
What were the dates again, Sean?
Monday, July 18th to Sunday, August 7th.
Okay. Yes, Sam, sorry.
Yeah, it's good to know. I had heard, but I did, they did not receive the confirmation. So at least that station may have some money towards the end of July in that case, and early August.
Yes.
Well, let me just ask Sam, too. I know there was a proposal made at the NFC meeting, the Non-National Finance Committee meeting last week, to require the stations that are holding money for payroll in July or August to use it instead to help fund the audit. What do you think about that? Or what would be the implication if that was done?
Let me put it in another way. Because we are seeing a pattern where the stations withhold the central services payments for long, and they continue to make the payroll without realizing the adverse consequences that it is having on the national office. So what I would suggest that after a few months, say about 3 months, if the stations are not able to make the payment for the central services, then the CFO should be authorized to demand the payment in the preference over other bills, excluding the payroll and the health care, because the central services is also very important to pay for other critical services, including the national office payroll. So that could be one, and in turn, that forces the station to look into their operations, what is going wrong. because like I had alluded before, that it's an illusion when the stations are able to make their payrolls and withhold the central services, it is not really conveying the true message. The truth is that, say, they are not in a position to meet their obligations, and that has to be come out very forcefully. And if we have enough funds this way, then at least we can take care of the critical services, like paying for the audit fee. And I may just make a quick reminder that we are struggling for the fiscal year 14 audit fee at this time. But the fiscal year 15 audit fee will also become due very quickly as soon as we start the audit, because it is like pay as you go. We will have to pay a retainer fee, and we have to pay, make some progressive payments. So that will also become due fairly quickly. So we have to keep in mind those aspects as well.
Well, I'm wondering, this may sound crazy, but would crowdfunding work to try to raise money for the audits, I wonder? You know, it's not like something that's tangible that people could put their hands on, but I don't know. We need to figure out some way of doing that. And could you tell everybody, for those who don't know, how much money is involved for both the remaining amount for the FY 2014 audit and also the 2015 audit?
Yeah, generally the audit is costing about $100,000 or so. And the reason why I proposed crowdsourced funding, because if we can generate about maybe $30,000 to $40,000, that probably may be an achievable target, and we can pay off for the fiscal year 14, and then we can continue with fiscal year 15. If we have the audited statements, then we can also get other things done, like the negotiations with the Empire State and the insurance renewal. So those are other very urgent things that need to be done. So that would be a little bit of a relief. And I think for this purpose, probably crowdsourced funding can be very handy, because I think we can advertise from different stations at all the radio stations, and the money can be collected at one place. So that can be very useful.
How much do we need just for the FY14 audit to complete it?
So there was an outstanding payment of about $67,000, and since we have paid a little bit, I don't know, don't have the exact numbers at this time, but I know that we had made a check of $5,000, and I have to look into the numbers. But whenever we get some money, we make small payments so as to kind of keep reducing that outstanding amount.
Okay, thank you.
Jan Goodman, I have another question.
Yeah, related. Okay, Jan. Go ahead.
I am thinking of putting together a letter, just an actual hard letter, and also a letter to members and former members, and having borrowing the money from certain individuals to pay for the printing and the mailing of that letter, and with a promise that the proceeds from the mailing, the first proceeds would go to pay back the loan, and probably with a UCC lien of some sort would obviously have to be signed by Pacifica to guarantee that the repayment be made from the first funds. And I'm wondering, Sam, what you think about that idea, and you know, the feasibility of a UCC lien. For you, those of you who don't know, it's a uniform commercial code. It's a standard kind of a lien that somebody does something, they get a lien against, you know, like the proceeds of these funds. And if that's a feasible thing to do in order to borrow money to assure these people that they would get their money paid back to them before it got spent on you know.
So I think, I think that's a good idea, but probably it will not be within my authority to approve this process or to get the loan. It has to be approved by PNB.
Does it have to be approved by the PNB, or could it be approved by the executive director? I mean, it would be $5,000 or $10,000 or something.
I don't think still probably it'll be within her authority. I think it will have to go to the PNB.
Okay.
I'm not sure, but again, the problem would be that nobody would like to stretch their authority unless it is very clear.
Yes, of course. Okay. All right. Just asking, because I'd like to
sure.
I'd like to be able to guarantee people I'd like to be able to borrow the money and guarantee people that they would get their money back before it got sucked up into the and by the way, the fundraising letter would be one that would be like specific to paying off the audit or specific to the elections or specific to PRA. So it's a specially designated thing, so it's not just going to go into Never Never Land.
Yeah, so what I can say that, Jan, these kind of efforts will have to be made by insiders, by the directors or other people who are closely associated with the network. Because, like, if you remember that I had got one resolution passed that we can hire, a business development consultant. So I had approached one consultant and explained the requirements. And she did some due diligence work, but then she came back and she said that she will not be able to accept the assignment. There are too many challenges and too many different kind of interests or too many different minds involved, and she may not be able to do a good job. So unfortunately, we are left with the only option that insiders have to step up, and they will have to fill in this gap.
Okay.
Sam, let me ask you a follow-up question. Somebody emailed a question kind of related to this, not for a loan, but would it be possible for an outside individual or group of listeners and supporters to initiate a GoFundMe effort, you know, on crowdsourcing to raise money for something like the audit or maybe the elections? And with the money to go, obviously, to Pacifica, to have to go to Pacifica, could that be done?
With specificity, saying that it's only going to go to such and such a place.
Yeah, so the Pacific would have control over the money raised, obviously. Would that work? Just trying to get, you know, let some outside people help, because then obviously it takes effort to plan these things and get them set up. And frequently it takes a video, somebody needs to produce a video and a good story to explain why people should donate.
So I would request Jan to provide this suggestion in the next finance committee meeting, because I'm very hopeful that it is well within their rights. They can initiate and they can process the whole thing, and I think they can direct the money should go for this specific purpose, and probably they don't have to take approval from PNB. Because that is a kind of an execution that they are performing. So that could be a very quick option.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I must say, we had a crowdsourcing campaign for our transmitter at KPFT. It was done by the station. It did take some station staff time to set it up, but and it was successful. We still had to get a loan for the rest of it, but it helped raise the rest of the money we needed. In addition to that loan that was from Pacifica, enable us to get the transmitter last year. Okay, other questions or comments? I guess we need to be wrapping up the meeting pretty soon, especially those of you from New York who haven't had a chance to participate in any of the PNB discussions. We'd really like to hear from you if you have any comments or suggestions or concerns.
Well, if I could just make one suggestion.
Okay, Greg.
Any private appeal like that with crowdsourcing should follow the example that I have taken when I've put ads in the Left Forum program, for example, or an exhibit table. I put maybe in fine print, but somewhere very clearly it has to say this is not an official request from Pacifica National Board. This is strictly listener volunteers on their own initiative and their own responsibility doing this.
Okay. Sam, any comments?
No, not really. Actually, this is very interesting because so many good suggestions are coming up. And I wish that we can wrap this up in kind of an action plan and then put forward for implementation. That would be my only hope and kind of wishful thinking at this time.
Well, let me suggest anybody listening on the stream or in the archives later or on this call, just write up your suggestions. Doesn't have to be super fancy format or information you have, and put financial crisis in the subject line, somewhere in the subject line, and email it to me, or maybe email it to all of PNB if you want. But email it to me, and I'll collect them, and I'll try to get some help from some of the other people here to put them together to give to Sam, and they might be for a specific station or for all the Pacifica like that. And I think these are great ideas. We can, and I don't mind sharing them with anybody who sends me something so that we can effectively brainstorm some by email. You don't have to be on the PNB to suggest it, anything.
If I may, you can even post it in my timeline at Facebook, because I allow people in the public who are not even friends to post there.
Okay, well, let's talk about that. I'm not sure what the best way would be. I just got on Facebook recently. I'm new to it, so okay. Other comments or suggestions, anyone, before we finish?
Yeah, this is Alex.
Yeah, Alex.
Well, I'm not optimistic listening to all this, but it does seem like, given the dysfunctional nature of our governance board and of our what appears to be our lack of response from management, it seems like the only possibility for saving Pacifica is going to come from local initiatives from local people, some of whom may be on this call. Maybe something will come out of the finance committee that Sam hopes for. And I guess that's where we stand right now. I think a fundamental change is still needed, and it's going to be needed at every level, including a big change in Pacifica governance. Because currently, it seems to be completely dysfunctional. But since we can't wait, local initiatives are going to have to, we're going to have to rely on local initiatives at this point. That's it.
Okay, thank you. Anybody else?
Anybody else? This is Sean in New York.
Yeah, Sean, go ahead.
Closing, I'd like to thank the PNB for allowing New York directors to finally participate in a meeting, even though this is technically a working group. It's still nice to have our input allowed. And I agree that a lot of good ideas have come out of this brainstorming session. I agree with Sam. The main thing now is to encapsulate all of these ideas and, start focusing on implementation. So I think this has been a constructive session, so thank you for that.
Yeah, and I want to thank all of you for on the call for participating. Anybody else before we finish? I didn't hear anybody. Well,
nope,
I thank you for your time. I thank Sam especially for his time in preparing all the written information and sending it out repeatedly to the PNB and for this call and for all of you who participated. Anybody else then? Somebody was going to say something? Do I hear a motion to adjourn?
Well, I would like to thank you very much for everybody.
Okay, great. Well, thank you, Sam. I think I heard a motion from somebody. Is that Jan to adjourn?
Jan, motion to adjourn.
Is there a second?
I'll second.
Okay. Any objections? If not, then I guess we're adjourned. Thank you all. Appreciate it.
Thank you, let's stay
in touch. Send those emails in.
Okay, bye-bye.
Goodbye.